Good morning. 8:13 a.m. on a mostly cloudy morning here on the High Plains, east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. Dark skies. Oh my God, dark clouds here this morning. Wouldn't be surprised if it rained on me. Although the Greeley... the local Greeley weather is... I probably mentioned it before. Is somewhat... different. There is something about the geographical, I assume, the geographical characteristics of where Greeley sits here on the High Plains. Because quite frequently, storms coming in from the west will either go north-south or even split and go around both north and south without actually, you know, going over Greeley. And I'm looking up at the clouds. There's dark clouds to the north. There's dark clouds to the west. There's no dark clouds to the... It's all broken up to the northwest. There's very little clouds to the north. Southwest? South? Even east? Nasty looking. So yeah, I did finally fix my Waterman Atria. Atria, it's known as Atria or Forum. I think it's also got a European brand, an Agora. But it's basically a cylindrical pen made of metal with little, almost steampunky joints, ridged steampunky joints at the top, the bottom, and the edge of the cap. It's a striking looking pen. Mine happens to be chrome, although they did produce them in different colors. Most of the ones I see on eBay are chrome, so I suspect the chrome ones either stand out better or were more popular to begin with. Mine happens to be chrome with a gold clip and green rings. But yeah, apparently cleaning out the nibs ink channel did the trick. I got it all put back together again. I did run it once more through the ultrasonic cleaner. And I got it all back together and dried out. And put ink in it yesterday. I'm not convinced I have the feed fully seated. Because the ink cartridge is just sort of hanging on by a thread. However, it is hanging on. And it is feeding ink to the nib, and the pen is writing. It was like, yay! I got a win. I'll take it. Wrote some yesterday, visited a little bit with Roger and old man Shackelford, and Delia Nickett was there, so It was a fun little soiree. Well, actually, it was an afternoon, a morning visit spanning lunch, where Roger did something completely uncharacteristic, and it seemed to have helped. I have no idea why. I don't care. We're leaving it. I'm moving on. Well, I get some writing in this morning. And then I think I've got nothing on the day. I think there's nothing left for me today. I did a grocery run. I had some taxi duty yesterday. Combined the two, so I only had one trip out. The new car is exactly right for what I needed a car. Extremely well suited to purpose. And I listened on the way over here. I was listening to my 60s and 70s rock music. Rare Earth, Humble Pie, some early Floyd. It was good. It got me moving. Before I left the house, though, I read what might be some of the most ludicrous commentary. How to write science fiction for men. And I'm looking at that going, I'm really going to regret. I'm really going to regret taking the 5 minutes it's going to take me to read this article, but I read it. And it was pretty much just as stupid as I thought. Fewer men than women are reading science fiction by a fairly large margin, according to the statistics. The somewhat specious statistics. And the conclusion was that it's because authors aren't writing things that men want to read. Jesus. Like, for the last 50 years, science fiction hasn't been written by men for men, almost exclusively. Yes, there have been some women of significance. A lot of them. But publishers publish books by men. It's one of the problems. They find books published by men because books published by women don't sell. And the reason they don't sell is because they don't publish very many. Those published under pseudonyms perceived as male do just as well as everything else. It's stupid. But I'm like, really? You're gonna hang your publisher, your self-publishing hat, and it's a self-publisher, should point out, that's has brought this to my attention, and believing that because he's believing it, he of course believes that, yeah, you need to write different. Men need manly things. They know they want to know about things. They don't care about people. So that's why they're, you know, women care about people. They're much more into the soft, touchy-feely bullshit stuff. And, you know, I just sort of want to slap them. I refrained from replying until I had a chance to let it settle a bit. Because the reality is men have always read less than women. No, not true. For centuries, only men read, period. Women weren't allowed to. But at some point or other, and I don't know when, where, how, why, this whole idea that of manly men, which I can use now as sort of a jokey tag. Did I actually start this recorder? Yes, I did. Okay, good. I'd hate to put down a good rant and then have it not be recorded. But somehow this idea of manly men particularly becoming as a reactionary response to, you know, women are people too, that started back in the 60s, even the 50s. But the educational establishment promotes reading to women, but not to men. They actually undermine boys' reading. They don't do it on purpose. It's just that education tends to undermine reading, period. Yeah, this looks problematic. Big red circle around the power box, I guess it is. I'm headed west now, east now. There's a big power metal thing sitting beside the path. It's got a big red paint mark around it. And the apparently power cables are marked off here. Anyway, yeah, boys don't read. You know, boys just, I mean, that's the general perception of an awful lot of the educational establishment. Boys don't read. You know, how do you get boys to read? Well, how do you get anybody to read? Coming up on I Get Ready, say it with me, Monk Post. Education does a really good job of discouraging people from reading by forcing them to read specific works, analyze those works in specific ways, ask a lot of questions that, while are might be of value to educators, don't necessarily have a lot of meaning to readers. Like, reading doesn't have to mean something. If a story has a moral, if a story has some metaphorical meaning, and the reader isn't able to perceive it in a specific way, that is, they can't interpret the symbolic language in the way teachers, the educational establishment, has deemed appropriate, then they're not very good readers. If they don't ask questions while they're reading, what does this mean? It means the drapes were blue. The little cockapoo. I don't know what it is. It's a little curly-haired blonde dog. They stop to pay attention to the dark brown one behind the fence, sharing treats between the two dogs. Totally adorable. And then you add in the fact that men aren't supposed to waste time reading. They're supposed to be doing things. They need to tend to business. They need to take care of their families. They need to be the breadwinners. They need to fill in the blank. All the shit that men need to do or have needed to do, who've been told what they need to do, for at least the last three generations, if not before. None of it includes, taking an hour or two and sitting down with a good book. A lot of men do, but they're the men who don't really buy into that same level of you must. I think. I don't know. Actually, I don't really know. But it just seems like when you add in that perception that men, manly men, don't read, then you add in the educational bias. I'm not a very good reader. I'm a boy, and the teacher said I wasn't a very good reader because I didn't ask the right questions. I didn't see the right symbolism. I don't care about that bullshit. I've got bread to earn. I got wolves to keep from the door. I don't need that shit. And layer on top of that, that Amazon Kindle disrupted reading. The TradPub publishers, a lot of readers want to argue that it disrupted publishing. TradPub authors think it disrupted publishing because anybody can publish, which is true. Anybody could always publish. It's just the distribution was a problem. It was expensive production. The cost of producing, the cost of goods sold was monstrous. But they disrupted, but Amazon, specifically the Kindle, the rest of the Johnny-come-latelys, the Kobos and the Nooks and all of the non-denominational e-readers, all of that came later. Kindle proved that e-books were a viable commodity, a viable product, and that people were willing to pay for it, which allowed all the rest of it to happen. Yeah, I know, Sony came before that. There was a lot of stuff to happen before that. Amazon was not breaking any brand new ground, except in finding a way to market it so that it became a viable reading choice early on, akin to libraries. Because you can't get every book in the library. You can only get a selected number of books in the library. You can only get selected titles in the library. And Kindle was the same way. You can only get a few. I think when I first saw Kindle, there were 700,000 titles on Kindle, which is a huge number. Considering your average bookstore has about 100,000. Morning. But that was a huge number. And now it's like, I don't know, 9 million? I suspect at least 3/4 of them self-published. And one of the early most snickers going around about Kindle and ebooks was that so many men were reading romance. Men are reading romance. Believe it or not, men are reading romance, and it's because they didn't have to let anybody see what they were reading. There weren't these lurid covers for women. There wasn't the same stigma attached to a man reading on his electronic device as there was, real or imagined, to a longshoreman with a Nora Roberts title in his lunchbox. Stereotypes all the way around. I apologize. But you see where I'm going here. There are so many structural issues that have changed the way how people read and what people read and even who reads. Did this whole men are from Mars, women from Venus, bullshit. I never read the book. I don't know. It may not be bullshit. But this idea that they're different, that they want different things in their reading experience. I'm sorry. I just can't buy it. It doesn't ring true to me. Of course, I never, while at one point in my life I had hoped to become a manly man. My manly man card never came in. I'm stuck. Or perhaps blessed to have been rejected from the He-Man Woman Haters Club. But it's like, Jesus, there's so much stuff you could actually look at and have it be a more cogent critique of publishing than TradPub isn't publishing books for men anymore. It's just stupid. All right, I'm at the back gate, which is probably a good thing. And I need to get the right phone out so I can stop the recording. Because I need to say, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.